I just want to give you some quick history. I'd like us to pray for the nation of Egypt in a minute. You can have a seat real quick. This story came to mind, so I don't know the gentleman's name, but way back in the days when Rome was the ruling superpower on the earth, and the biggest day of the year or the day of the week would be when the Roman circus was taking place and gladiators and all that kind of stuff. So that movie, Gladiator, you know, all that kind of stuff. And people are being sacrificed, people are being killed. It's just a terrible treatment of human beings, slaves and all those kind of things. It's very racist. It's very, it's just very, very oppressive. And this is a true story. There was a monk, follower of Jesus, who is in some cave somewhere. He's away and he's praying for years, and he's isolated. He has no idea what's going on, and just the sort of the slide into depravity that that the city of Rome has gone into. And he comes out one day. He feels the Holy Spirit say to go, and he walks and goes towards Rome. And as he's there, the crowds are beginning to gather. And it's one of the days of the forum. People are meeting, and there's going to be gladiators and all that kind of stuff taking place that day. And so he just follows the crowd as the crowd swells, and everyone's going to the forum. I don't know if any of you have been to Rome to see that beautiful, beautiful building, but huge building. It'd be like the size of the Rogers Center almost in terms of its size. Maybe not as big as the Rogers Center, but big, big building for those days. And as he's there and he's sitting up near the top, and he has no idea what's going to be happening. He's just clueless. And then people are brought in, and there's battles taking place, and people are dying, people are being slaughtered, and whoever the Caesar is thumbs up or thumbs down, and people are being killed. And he is grieved by that. And history says that this small little man began to cry out for peace, for people not to do that. And he started calling to the crowd, and they started laughing at him and just saying, don't do this, don't do this. And he was so moved by the Holy Spirit that he ran down as far as he could go and just trying to get the crowd to stop encouraging the violence that was taking place. And he was so compelled that he jumped over the wall and onto the circus floor, onto the forum floor, and began to cry out and say, stop, in the name of Jesus, stop, 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 stop. And someone came along and just with one swipe mortally wounded him with his whatever weapon he had. And as he's lying there dying, the place went quiet. And people who have been watching this funny little man, the history says that they just went silent, and he calls out and he says, in the name of Jesus, stop. And that was the last day that anyone died in that forum. It's the last day was a Christian died. So fast track, here's what I was thinking. All the stuff that's happening in Egypt, I don't know exactly why it started, but I just felt the Holy Spirit say it began when Coptic Christians were killed on New Year's Eve. Do you remember when that bomb blast took place? And it was quite a little ways, or it was a little ways outside of the main door, but some people who didn't like Christians, so it was an Islamic group, has taken responsibility for it, and they set a car bomb, and the Christians have gotten a little smart, and they recognize that car bombs are one of the primary ways that attacks take place. And so the Christians, the night before that they have a meeting, they park their cars on all the parking spots around their buildings so that you can't park cars close. And they don't care if they get tickets and all that kind of stuff. They just make sure that car bombs are going to be away. And so this particular car bomb was away, and the person didn't get the time of the meeting right, and it was set to explode when church got out. And so there'd be thousands, because it's a big deal for the Coptics, and this was one of the largest, what do they call their buildings? Churches, temples, not sure what the Coptic word would be. And so they're expecting that when people have the meetings finished and they're out on the street, that the car bomb would go. But it actually went when the service was still on. And so it was mostly other people that died, and a few people from the church. And if you remember, the nations of the world quickly got in a little bit of an uproar, didn't they? And in Egypt, people began to recognize that the government wasn't caring for minority groups and things like that. And all the prayers that had been going on in the past, it almost seemed like God heard something and God said, okay, we're changing things today. And so there's a spiritual battle going on in Egypt right now. And I don't know if you picked up the nuances. I didn't hear what happened today in the news, but I know that yesterday, Mubarak, the leader, had said that he was not wanting to step down because if he steps down, the militant Islamics would take over the government. And so that was his excuse or his reason for not stepping down, is that he recognized if I leave, there's a vacuum and the militant group will take over. The militant group that wants to take over has been portraying itself to the Western media as moderates. And there's this group called the Brotherhood of Islam or something like that. And they're giving press releases to CNN and BBC and all those groups that probably don't have really good research. And they're saying that they're a conservative, nonviolent group. And it's absolutely the opposite. They're not. And so they're trying to get the world's favor for that group to be put in power, and yet that's the group that that Mubarak is actually saying he does not want in. And Mr. Mubarak is not an active Muslim. He's a secular Muslim, like most of the people in Egypt are. And so there's a spiritual battle for that nation right now. Have you been figuring that one out? And all the stuff that's happening is, God's up to something. I have no idea in how to pray for these kind of situations. I don't know which person God wants to put into power. So in those kind of things, we just pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, is what we pray. I was telling our staff today, we have a staff chapel every Friday, and I was telling them, for those of you that were part of our church in 1999, and many of us had already met Roland and Heidi Baker, who were missionaries, they had one orphanage of 30 kids and had two churches, one in the dump and one for their 30 kids. And they had already made an impact in our church, and people had sort of began to fall in love with them. And I actually in 99 took a team of like 15 of us from our church, went and took some money and helped and did all that kind of stuff. And it's just a tiny little ministry. And then the floods came. And if you remember, a nation that had 25 years of civil war now has floods that just wipe out. It already was the poorest nation in the world, and it got poor because everything was just washed away. And I remember this church, we were praying, and it's like, God, stop the rain, stop the rain, stop the rain, not knowing that the rain was bringing revival. And that the greater disaster that was happening, now God was actually going to redeem all of those things. And if you haven't heard the story, the cabinet of Mozambique are meeting, and the president of the nation, who is a Marxist-Leninist, it was two different communist groups fighting in Mozambique, and after 25 years, they just said, let's just share the wealth. Well, let's just share the government. And so they just merged, stopped the war. And this Marxist-Leninist prime minister or president or whatever his title is, he's looking at his cabinet and he says, I don't trust any of you that when all the United Nations food and water and tents and supplies come, which they were getting ready to come, I don't trust any of you to look after this. I know that you're going to take it, you're going to sell it in the black market, you're going to get wealthy, and it's not going to get to the people. Do any of you know someone in this nation that we can trust to oversee all of the deployment of the United Nations stuff? And one man put up his hand. He was the minister of religion, a communist. But he's the minister of religion. Well, about 3 weeks earlier, he'd gotten born again when an American missionary had a word of knowledge that he had polio as he's sitting at a desk. And he did have polio. He was instantly healed. About 2 days later, Heidi Baker walks into the office to get a permit to have a Christian ministry in that nation. She finds out that he's met Jesus. She prays for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's filled with the Holy Spirit right then. He puts his hand up and says, I know some American missionaries that love this nation. And Roland and Heidi were put in charge of all the United Nations supplies. They had just started a little Bible school. And some of our team that went were teaching in the Bible school. There were seven-year-olds in the Bible school. They're saying, well, if they're going to be pastors, why wait? Let's train them now, kind of thing. And there was people that are illiterate. There was a man that was there, and I met this gentleman. He was illiterate. He was he had like three goats. That was his income. And he was the very first of their Bible school students to raise someone from the dead. The person was dead for 3 days, and he was the first one to raise someone from the dead. He only knew five Bible stories before he went to Bible school. And he's a pastor of a church, so every fifth Sunday, same sermon. Can you imagine that for years? You only got five Bible stories. Couldn't read, but one of them was an Easter story, so that's pretty good. Anyways, they put these Bible school students on every airplane and every helicopter that went into Mozambique and gave out all the food and all that kind of stuff, and every day, 30 churches were started. Everybody in the communities would be healed. Just miraculous signs and wonders were happening. It was just straight out of the Bible. It was happening every single day. And in the period of like 2 months when the floods were happening and all the United Nations were doing stuff, like 3,000 churches were started. It was just amazing. And so God's able to turn situations like that absolutely around. Did you know that? Yeah, so we just had our Pastors and Leaders Conference, and John Dawson was one of the speakers, and if you weren't here for his little talk, he was talking about the rains and the floods in Australia. And I don't know if you know, but this church, as well as all sorts of churches, the last couple of years have been praying for rain because Australia hasn't had rain. And yes, there's been some devastating floods. However, the cisterns that keep water have been empty, and there is enough water in those cisterns now to last 10 years of no rain. Because of what's been happening. So God's always redemptive, isn't he? And when Satan tries to do stuff, God's in it and he's always trying to redeem. So I have no idea what God's plan is for Egypt. I just know he has a plan. Yes? Any Egyptians here? I had lunch with Majid from our church. He's Egyptian. And he told me today at lunch, he said, you'll have to excuse me. I've not slept for 4 days. I've been on the phone for all these different groups. And I don't know how it's happened, but he's become an advisor to the cabinet. He was with the prime minister's office yesterday, advising them on what they should do for Egypt. He's now one of the advisors to our nation. The council general in Toronto for the Israeli nation of Israel. Remember Amir Gazan? He was here at the anniversary of Israel in May last year. Do you remember that Sunday when he was here? A lot of pomp and ceremony and all that kind of stuff. The Israeli government has called in Majid as one of their advisors on what to do, what to prepare for, who are the groups, who are the... Because I don't know if you know this, but Majid has a human rights organization, and he has... I wouldn't call them spies. That's not the right word. But he has a network of people, informants, and all this kind of stuff. So he, you know, it's like, oh my goodness. Every time he tells me a story, it's like, oh, this is Jason Bourne movies. This is, you know, all that kind of stuff. How about we stand? I'd like you to get in a group of three, four. Just find some people around you. And just one after another, 30-second prayers. Call out for God's will to be done in Egypt. Can you do that? So just real quick, just begin to do that. One of our gals just came with a passage. Isaiah 19, verse 19, in that day there will be an altar to the Lord in the heart of Egypt and a monument to the Lord at its borders. It will be a sign and a witness to the Lord Almighty in the land of Egypt. When they cry out to the Lord because of their oppressors, he will send them a savior and deliverer, and he will rescue them. So the Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians, and in that day they will acknowledge the Lord. They will worship with sacrifices and grain offering. They will make vows to the Lord and keep them. The Lord will strike Egypt with a plague, and he will strike them and heal them. They will turn to the Lord, and he will respond to their pleas and heal them. So that's Isaiah chapter 19, verse 19. So Father, we declare that Isaiah is looking ahead, and the story of Moses and all that stuff, that's way in the past. And so Isaiah sees something in the future for the nation of Egypt. And he said on that day, as they call out, that the Lord will be magnified, the Lord will show himself. And so, Father, we say to the Egyptians, we say, Father, Call out to the Lord. Call out to God. And whatever you call him, whatever his what you feel his name is you call to him. Father, we're asking you, reveal yourself to these people as Lord. Reveal yourself not as Allah, but as Father. Holy Spirit, would you come? We bless that nation. We bless the tragedy that's going on. Say, Father, would you redeem the tragedy? Sorry, don't bless the tragedy. We're asking, Father, you redeem the tragedy. We ask, Father, that those that have lost lives, that somehow, Father, you would restore. You would raise up godly people in that nation. Father, we're asking for great wisdom of the world leaders as they try to put pressure on Egypt and force them to do things and encourage them to do things. Daddy, we're asking, kingdom of God come for Egypt. Will of God be done in that nation. Father, come. We bless you, Father. Bring hope to the people. Bring hope to the people. Some of you are old enough to remember Jan, Polish Jan. When did Poland switch from being communist? What year was that? Do you remember? Nice and loud. 89. Do you remember when Eastern Europe began to tumble and nation after nation after nation switched from communist to just change the governments? Remember that? It was like dominoes. And it was like Poland struggled for 2 or 3 years to get democracy and independence. And then Czechoslovakia, and it was just like, and the nations, they just changed radically. Last week, Tunisia, the first Muslim nation in North Africa to have a drastic transformation. So Father, we just say, we're in very significant times. The nations are in upheaval. And Father, we say, would you rise up? Would you show yourself strong? Friends, I don't know if you figured out, but the weather has gone goofy. The storms that have happened this year in North America have all started in the Gulf of Mexico. They're starting in Texas. So they're not blaming Canada now for cold fronts coming from, you know, from Canada to freeze the states. They're blaming Texas for snow. And Father, we're just saying, whatever you are doing in this world, may it enhance your kingdom. Kingdom of God, come. Will of God be done on our nation. Do you know the Bible says that Jesus is coming back? Did you know that? It is going to happen. And before Jesus comes back, depending on your view, a few negative things appear to be happening. Again, depending on your view. And I think if there's 150 of us, 200 in this room, there's probably 100 different views. It's like, all the different things that can be shaken or it would appear are being shaken. It's like the Lord's giving signs to call the intercessors and say, Father, whatever you're up to. I was hearing Grant Jeffries, who writes a lot of conspiracy kind of books, and a Christian brother, very well researched in what he writes. And I was listening to him on the radio a while back. I had like a 2-hour drive from Huntsville down to Toronto and just flipping radio stations. And I heard this voice that I recognized. And he was talking about, as followers of Jesus, when all the signs of stuff is happening, we only have two options because Jesus is going to return. We cannot pray and say, Jesus, don't come, because that's going to happen. So we have two prayers. We're either to pray, come, Lord Jesus, which is what the Bible encourages us to pray, or we also have the right to say, Father, would you delay your coming? And that also seems to be in the scriptures. I think Peter says that the Lord has delayed the return of Jesus because he wants more people to get saved. And so depending on what your view is, we only have two options. It's, Lord, bring it on. So who cares about the world economy? Who cares? Yes, I may die. I may be bludgeoned to death. Who cares? Jesus is coming. Or I may live my whole life in peace and serenity, and my grandchildren and great-grandchildren see the day of the Lord. But it's either come, Lord Jesus, or hold it off. I've prayed 3 nights or 3 times for the Lord to not come. The day before a hockey tournament when I was like 12 years of age, and I was a good hockey player, and I'm going to be the star tomorrow. So Jesus, please do not come back tonight. Please do not come back tonight. I want to be a star tomorrow. The day before I married Sandra, I wanted to have my honeymoon night. Please, Jesus, don't disturb that. And then I also prayed the same thing when both of my sons got married, is don't come back today. At least have them, you know, anyway. Selfish prayers. And now we have a grandson, partly because of our prayers. Anyways. So, Daddy, we just declare that Jesus is coming. And again, just lots of different views of what's going to happen. But the Bible does say that there's going to be rumors of war. There's going to be all sorts of signs in the atmosphere. And so, Father, the Bible encourages us to say, come, Lord Jesus. So we welcome you to come in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Don't know what your name is. Right over here, black and blue, up here. Mike and I were praying for this gentleman when Bill was asking people to come up to the front and turn around, let everyone see your smiling face. Your name, where you live?
Paul from Newmarket.
Newmarket, very good. And you were having problems with your...
Bowels?
Your bowel.
Bowel.
What was wrong?
Intense pain and some real bad electricity down here.
And you were telling me when I was praying that your parents have both struggled with that kind of stuff and now it's happened to you. Is that right?
Yeah. I have my own version of it. Had my own version of it. What?
I'm just listening. I'm just talking. anyways, I prayed for a while and nothing's happening. And so I let Mike take over because that's the way we sort of operate. If nothing's happening, you go switch. So Mike became the prayer and I became the catcher. And Mike had a really good word from the Lord. He said, be healed. And that apparently was better than my words. And what happened?
Well, I thought it was a good word, too. And I bowed over because the pain was pretty intense. And while I was bowed over, I just felt like I should say, my ancestor, I forgive you. And right away, the pain was gone.
So that was good. That was tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
That was very good. So what about right now? Any pain at all?
No.
If you push, squeeze, any pain?
Hurts a little bit right up here, but it's...
Mike, come on up. Mike, come on. We'll get Mike to finish you off.
It's down to about an inch as opposed to 10 inches.
Okay. Right. So there's a lot of peace that's just come. Let's stretch our hands towards him. Yeah. Go get him, Mike. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, thank you that even tonight as we're praying that you came and visited him. Come, Holy Spirit. Yeah, finishing him off. One of the guys on our prayer team was talking about joy being a good medicine.
Oh, yes.
Come, Daddy. What are you feeling right now?
Not much.
So you mean there's no pain or you're just not feeling much?
It's not pain. It's more like somebody's just poked me into my tummy.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, it's a lot better. Yeah.
Oh, Daddy, poke him again. Poke.
I'm not the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else?
Better.
Very, very good. Anyone else that when we were praying for you at the front, when one of the team was praying for you, that you felt God do something for you, physically, emotionally, spiritually? Anyone else want to come up and just share? Yes, no? Yes, no? Mr. Brock, also from Newmarket, former Bible school student, part of Catch the Fire Newmarket.
Yes. When I arrived here, I had a super major migraine headache, and it's because I haven't been sleeping, and I've been just overthinking a lot. And you prayed for me to sleep well tonight and everything and peace, and I just realized now that it's totally gone, and I didn't even think about it until now.
That's very, very good. So while Sandra's talking in just a moment, you can just lay down and have a little snooze.
Yeah, 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 definitely. I think I want to listen to what she has to say.
Okay,
but, yeah.
All righty, bless you. Good. Alrighty, I was looking for a passage in Job and I could not find it. There's in the middle of all of Job's accusers saying different things, God sort of jumps in a couple times. And one of the things that God says to Job is that you were poor and I'm going to prosper you. And Job was sort of going like, what? Actually, he probably was the richest man in the world at that time. And if you remember, Job was way before Abraham. Probably the oldest book in the Bible is Job, and goes way, way back. Perhaps even back into the, if there's dinosaurs and things like that, because there's figurative speech that would seem to say when God's actually talking to him and said, like, can you make dinosaurs? And that's an odd question to ask unless there happen to be dinosaurs around. So I have no idea. There's just all sorts of speculation. And some of these things we don't know until we get to heaven and say, okay, God, like, rewind the DVD. Let's watch the book of Job. What year was it? What was it like? All that kind of stuff. By the way, when you get to heaven, you're going to be able to see everything. Like, did you know your life story has been recorded? And it would appear, positive and negative, people are going to hear your thoughts and, you know, see what you were seeing and all that kind of stuff. And so that's a good reason to ask the Holy Spirit to cleanse you from your stuff so that that gets erased from the videotape. Anyways, God's word over this man. God saw Job, even though he was a very wealthy man, as someone that he could still bless. And if you remember the very end, it says that because of his acknowledging the Lord on a good day, and especially in a whole bunch of bad days, that God was able to come and restore him. And over time, everything came back. And in fact, when people came, it says in chapter 40, that when people came to sort of see him, that they brought a silver coin. And I don't know how many people were there, but like this man quickly had things restored to him. And the Lord gave him children and grandchildren and all those kind of things. So I just want to encourage you that wherever you're at in your journey in terms of your finances, if you're having a good season right now where there's prosperity coming, with God's favor, you have a good job, good income, or maybe you're struggling, that God's always in it, isn't he? And God sees future, God sees today, he sees the past, and God's going, I'm watching you. I love the fact that Jesus watched that lady. He didn't just watch a lady, you know. He watched everybody who was putting money into the offering bucket that day. And he pointed out that lady right there has just given more than everyone else. And it's like she gave all that she had that day. So Father, thank you that we are allowed and encouraged to be generous, to share, to care for the poor, to give to the kingdom of God. And Father, we just declare that everything we have is yours. Everything we have. The ability to make money, to have opportunities, to have advancement in our careers, all of those things come because of your love, your graciousness for us. It's not about how smart we are. It's not about how much money we inherited or any of those kind of things. It's about you. And so, Daddy, we just declare that you're able to bring radical change, to take everything away in a day and to give everything back and more. And so, Father, we just say, you're our God. We follow you. It's our privilege to bless you. And Father, as we give an offering to you tonight, would you further your kingdom through our giving? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good. Could I get four or five people just to grab one of those buckets? And instead of coming to the front, we'll just pass the buckets around. So I don't know if there's people ready to do that, but maybe prayer team and those of you who've given out the buckets before, if you want to just take them down the aisles. If you'd like to give a gift tonight and would like to have a receipt for it, there in the back of the chairs somewhere are some envelopes, and you can grab one of those. And if you could print your name as neat as possible, that would be wonderful. A couple of announcements as we're doing that. For those of you at the airport campus, we're all of our campuses this Sunday, being the first Sunday of the month coming up, we're going to be celebrating the Lord's table, communion, mass, whatever you want to call it. And we're going to be taking some time at this campus to focus on healing this coming Sunday. And so we have an amazing video to show you of the testimony of a couple that Sandra and I met on Monday. And when we were in the Myrtle Beach area, this is the couple that gave their beautiful 5-bedroom, 4-bedroom condominium to John and Carol to stay in because of the gratitude of what God did at our church that enabled them when a tough time came to have an amazing healing. When this gentleman twice flatlined in the hospital, declared brain dead, all that kind of stuff. And it's just an amazing, amazing story. So we're going to have that video testimony on Sunday, and then we're going to have a full-out healing time, lay hands on the sick, all that kind of stuff on Sunday. So if you've got friends and family, make sure you bring them on Sunday. Would that be okay if you're part of this campus? I don't know what's happening at the other campuses, but that's what we're going to do at this campus. Next Thursday night, for any of you that serve in any of the ministries at our church, we have a private meeting four times a year for our cell leaders, Sunday school teachers, kids workers, intercessors, all that kind of stuff. And it's going to be in the School of Ministry building starting at 7 p.m. And it's our quarterly ministry workers meeting. And we have Ken and Nancy Nair with us. This is a couple in their 70s. They've been married 50 years, and they are marriage specialists. So I don't think they're talking about marriage on Thursday night. They're having a sort of ministry night to those of you that serve in our ministry. And so that is at 7 o'clock, and you're welcome to show up at 6:30 for coffee and snacks, I think we're going to be having. And in the School of Ministry building, next Friday night, Ken and Nancy are going to be here, and it is the beginning of a marriage-focused or relationship weekend. And the Friday night is open to everybody. The Saturday is a registration event and is only for those of you that are married, the Saturday. Friday night's for everyone, so you can come next Friday night and hear them. And if you are interested in coming to the marriage event next a week Saturday, you can register even tonight, I believe. I think Monica, one of our staff, is going to be at the welcome desk after the meeting. If she's not there, just phone our office, and you can still register. There's over 100 people coming. Sandra and I are going to be at that, and we're going to sit in the middle rows, and we're doing nothing. We're just there to improve our marriage. This is not a weekend if you got a bad marriage. This is a weekend if you got a great marriage or a good marriage and you want it to be great, or you have a great marriage, Sandra, like us, and it wants to be, we want to go, well, I'm looking to learn to love you a little bit more. Are you learning to love me a little bit more? Yes, okay. It's for everyone who's married, yes, wherever you are. But it's not a disaster marriage weekend. That if you come for a disaster, it's not what that's what it's about. Have I said enough?
Yes.
I've said enough. Then in three weekends, we're having our Love Our City event, and it's going to be Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and we still need a number of you to volunteer, or if you'd be willing to volunteer at that event. And on Sunday at your campuses, you can sign up for that. Sam Dumpkin is going to be here and can give you all the details. He'll be at the table on Sunday morning right over there and just getting all the information. Again, we're having like 300 people serving at that event. So I think they're still needing like 50 people. And so if you'd like to help them one of those days, that would be amazing. It would appear that on the Saturday night, on the 19th of February, that's going to be our private party. And we are allowed to invite 1,500 people for our private party because we're the title sponsors. We're the big cheese in terms of investing in that we get a private party, 1,500 people. All the games, all the blow-up things are absolutely free. And so like last year, I think we charged $5 a person or something like that for our event. So we get the same and more. Nintendo is apparently introducing a brand new 3D Xbox kind of game. Nintendo is releasing it. I know they don't do Xbox. Whatever they do, they've got a brand new game that's being launched in Canada. This is the first place that it's going to be shown and played with is at that event. And I believe that we get to do all those games absolutely free before anyone else does. And maybe not before anyone else, a few people, I'm sure. And we are inviting, we're going to be inviting approximately 1,200 people from social services that live in Etobicoke and places like that. In fact, where's Richard? He was right. Ta-da! Russ. Sorry. Russ works for social services in the Thistletown area. Yes? No, it's not social services, but you work with... What do you do, Russ? Up here. So Russ is one of the people that's going to be inviting people to this event. So tell people what you do.
Yeah, right across the city, there's 13 key priority areas where the city has seen the social deprivation. So I deal with the Jamestown-Rexdale area through a thing called Action for Neighborhood Change, which is up way up in the north part of the city. And so it's through that I'm inviting.
Very good. So we're using all these different contacts. My sister happens to be the manager of one of the social services offices for the City of Toronto. She used to be the communications director for social services. So we got some people that are able to get us mailing lists of people that we can just give a free party to. And the clown is going to be there, and he's going to be talking about Jesus. We got a kids entertainer, and apparently this guy, Daphne said, is just amazing. We've not had him before. And when she was down in Orlando at a kids conference, met this guy, and he's just off the charts, she said, in terms of just getting people hyped up for Jesus without realizing they're being hyped up for Jesus. So I'm just looking forward to, I think it's going to be a great, great event. So that's coming up. And the last weekend of February, we have Dr. Grant Mullen with us. And we haven't had him for a couple of years. Grant Mullen used to be, when he was a practicing doctor, was considered one of the specialists in Canada in mental health. He's stopped functioning as a practitioner, as a medical doctor, and is now a full-time itinerant Bible teacher and minister. And he helps people with depression, discouragement, bipolar, schizophrenia, all those kind of issues. And so he's going to be here on the Friday and the Saturday. I think the Saturday has like a $25 registration fee for the Saturday and the Friday night. He's going to be here. And so that's coming up. We'll give you some details about that. Last time he was here, we had like 600 people show up. And it was just outstanding. The content that this guy has is just amazing, amazing, amazing. And so if you want a little bit of a hint, you can go to drgrantmullen.com on your website, or on his website, and just download all sorts of resources and get a little taste of what he does. And we have all sorts of his material in our resource center. Good. Mrs. Sandra Long, are you ready to give a little talk?
I'll do it really quick. Actually, I got this little mini download today, and so it's kind of like one of those sermon, you know, the beginning of a message, and hopefully it comes together, and I know it will. But it was interesting, this past week, how many people listened to the news for hours and hours this week? Anybody? I bet Sue was saying, please make sure that it goes away so I can go on holiday, right? And I'm like, please, Lord, take it away so I can get home. But I was talking to the gals in my cell this week, and I said, I just find it really interesting how much fear can come in us. Anybody get afraid? You know, and I bless the media. I thank God for the media because they do communicate what's going around. But I know that I realized when we had a team meeting this week, and so we flew to Myrtle Beach and back, and we were coming back on the Wednesday when the big storm, the storm of the century, what did they call it?
Snowmageddon.
Yeah. Snowmageddon was coming, and if anybody's part of this church, they know that I don't like turbulence, and so all I could think was all the snow and the plane was going through, and it was, you know, that kind of thing. Anybody been in a plane where it's just shaking, and you're like, God, are you going to take me now? No, please don't, you know, I have a grandson, you know, that's going to be born, you know, that kind of thing. So anyways, all this fear was coming up in me, and all of a sudden we started to pray, and we just thought, hey, wait a minute. You know, the revelation came, wait a minute, we have authority. So we started speaking to the wind, and we started speaking to the storm, and we just thought, you know, we're going to tell the storm that it's going to diminish in the name of Jesus. And so it was really interesting because every morning we'd get up, and John and Carol Arnott and Duncan and Kate were there, and they go, have you heard? Anybody looked at the news, you know, looked at the weather, you know, and we all get on our, except me, because I don't have one, but they all get on their laptops, and they would look at the weather, and they'd be looking at it, and they would, like, Chicago airport shut, all these airports were shut, and so we put in our flight stuff, so we had to take two planes, we had to take a plane from Myrtle Beach to Charlotte, Charlotte to Toronto, it's the only way that you could get there, and everything around our flight was closed except our flight. It was like, what's that? You know? And I'm like, oh God, you know. But still, fear was coming up at me because I kept saying delayed, delayed, or no, 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 that kind of thing. And I'm thinking, what's that about? And I was just getting really, really nervous. And so I just as I'm getting on the plane, I say, well, God, you know, if you want to take me, no, I don't say that. But I just say, Lord, please do not let me get on this plane if it's not going to do what it's supposed to do. That's what I pray. But anyways, so I get there. But it was really interesting. You know, the first flight, it was sunny because it was Myrtle Beach. It was sunny, and we could see the ground the whole way. And so I was looking out the window, and I'm like, yep, there's the ground. Thank you, Jesus. you know, I don't like flying through clouds because you can't see. It's kind of like swimming, you know, you can't see the bottom, and you don't know if, you know, Jaws, do you remember, will come and just take you. But anyways, all these little fear things from things that you see in the natural. But anyways, so we land, and I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And then Stephen says, out of the blue, honey, I just want you to know that there's a possibility that this next flight might be a little bumpy. And I'm like, right away, I'm like, God, he never says that. Why would he say that? Why would you do that? You know, and all of a sudden this fear just, you know, comes up in me again. But it was absolutely amazing because I said the same thing as I'm getting on the plane, and it was a smaller plane. It was much smaller than the first plane. And all I could see is we were at the back, and I was just like, Lord, this is a smaller plane. It's lighter. The wind's going to shake it. You know, there's this big storm, and it's I was getting scared. And then all of a sudden, I just said, Lord, no, I'm just going to get on this plane, and you know the drill. You know what I like and what I don't like. And I get on the plane, but the amazing thing about the plane ride home was, I like these stories, is there was cloud above us, a heavy cloud above us, but in between, there was nothing. It was just like smooth. I could see the sun setting the whole way. And I'm like, oh my goodness, God. You know, and the fear was just washing off of me. And even when there was a little bit of shaking, it was nothing. There was nothing that I felt that, you know, like that I could walk in fear. And so then I was thinking, well, you know, there's that scripture in Hebrews 11, 1 about faith. And I thought, oh, I got to do a sermon on faith and fear. And, you know, it's a good thing, right? Faith and fear. And in Hebrews 11, 1, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You know, so I was really, really hoping that there would be no wind. Well, you need wind to, you know, help the plane, but no turbulence. I was really hoping that that finances would be better. I'm really hoping that things are going to get better. But do I have the faith? You know, because in the natural, sometimes when you, like if I'm looking at the news, you know when you look at the news and they show all the white pictures going everywhere, and it just, they've got all the different colors of the weather. In the natural, you're looking at that, you're going, oh my goodness, can you even begin to hope? And we had an experience this past week where we spoke to somebody, and we're actually going to show it, so I won't say too much. But they spoke about how this person got healed. And in the natural, all the doctors said, this is not going to happen. They're going to die. You better settle everything. You've got 3 hours, that kind of thing. Or, you know, whatever. So in the natural, it seemed impossible. So of course, in the natural, when you cannot see, you can't hope because that fear comes in. The fear gets in the way of hope. And so your faith isn't in that place. But I was so encouraged. You know, I thought, Lord, I got to live in faith. And so in cell the other day when I was talking to my ladies, I got this revelation. I thought, I'm really sick and tired of living in fear. I'm really sick and tired of living in that frustration of hearing all the stories that I hear about people that are sick and people that don't have enough finances, people that don't have jobs. And, you know, it makes me really sad. And I was just like, the weight of all that was just coming on me. And I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to be in that anymore. I can't do it. And then the Lord reminded me, he said, Sandra, you know what? Everything you need is in my word. Everything you need is in my word. And I'm like, you're right, God. And so I've made it, starting, it was actually yesterday, but something in my life where when something is happening, when somebody comes and tells me about something, about what's happening that is devastating, or if I'm feeling insecure, if I'm feeling fear, I'm going to write down the truth of what God says in his word. And I just started, even tonight, this afternoon, I was just going through the Word, and I went on the computer, and you know, you can do that, because, you know, thank God for Google, right, and all those Bible searches, but isn't it great? Thank God you can write all these things in. I was actually talking to my dad about it, and he said that he Googled, I hope I get it right, Dad, because I know he's watching. He Googled something like, you know, why do people get angry at God? And there was a whole sermon on it. You know, like, it's interesting. But in the midst of what we're going through, like, I'm sure that even right now in Egypt, in Australia, with everything that has been going on, that there's a lot of angry people. But I'm sure there's a lot of people on their knees right now calling out to a God who is living and who loves them with all of their heart. But you need to begin, when things get desperate, we need to begin to clearly start, you know, just quoting and declaring the Word of God, because that's what's true. And, you know, it's interesting when you start reading, like Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." He can do everything abundantly. Then I thought, you know, how many times do we pray for people and they need guidance? Yeah? Anybody ever, you know, do you go to somebody and say, "Oh, Lord, you know, will you," or you come to somebody and I go, "Stephen, will you pray for me? Because I really need guidance in this situation." And I just want to tell you that, you know, you can do it yourself too. I think it's great that we get to share that, you know, and we go to people and we pray. But, you know, in Nehemiah 9:20, it says, "God has given his good spirit to instruct me." In Psalm 16:7, it says, "I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night season." So that's in your dreams. I do that all the time. Stephen and I do that. Before we go to bed at night, we pray. We say, "Lord, would you show us in our dreams tonight?" You know, I know John gets all sorts of dreams. How many people are dreamers here? Yeah, there's a lot of people at night when you're sleeping and God is speaking to you. He's instructing you. In Psalm 16:11, it says, "God will show me the path of life." In Psalm 18:28, it says, "God will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." In Psalm 23:1-3, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake." In Psalm 25:9, it says, "God guides me in justice and teaches me his way." There's in that, "My times are in God's hands. God will instruct me and teach me in the way I should go. He will guide me with his eyes." Isn't that amazing? That one is Psalm 32:8. The Psalm 37:23 says, "My steps are ordered by the Lord." I got to finish reading them because I get excited. Psalm 48 says, "I delight to do your will, O God, and your law is within my heart." Psalm 48:14 says, "He is my God forever and ever. He will be my God, or my guide, even to death." Psalm 73 says, "God will guide me with his counsel." Psalm 78 says, "God will lead me on safe," or let me start again. "God will lead me on safely so that I will not fear." Isn't that amazing? And so I just really felt like that this is just the beginning stages. You can all do your own little research on fear and faith, but I want to live in faith. I don't want to live in fear, because I think what happens is, and I tell you, I live in a lot of fear. And I have to choose. And I think it's a daily walk. It's like saying, "Lord, I'm going to choose to walk in faith, even if I can't see." But that's the key thing. The key thing is that the scripture saying, and Mark Verkley does this teaching, and the key scripture is, where is it? In Habakkuk, it says, "My sheep hear my voice." That's in John. But yeah, in Habakkuk, it talks about journaling. But in John, it talks about, "My sheep hear my voice." And in John 10, but I remember when Stephen and I first heard that, we heard the Lord, but we didn't understand. And I know Bill and Sue like do that whole teaching on hearing the voice of God. But when you start hearing the voice of God, so when I get scared in the plane, it was interesting because we were on a holiday a few weeks back, and I got a little nervous, and there was a bit of turbulence again. And I just started calling out to God as usual, and Stephen's relaxed as usual. And I just won't tell you that, but anyways, and all of a sudden, I was like, "God, I know you're here. Would you speak to me? Do you ever do that? You just kind of like, would you just, you know, come on, you know, would you reveal your heart to me? And the Lord just goes, bing, and he just drops something into my heart. And he says, Sandra, it's going to be okay. And it's amazing when we start listening to the voice of God, when we start just, you know, like sometimes he doesn't come like with a thunder. Sometimes he just comes like with a pin drop. And that's why we have to be still. You know, in the scriptures it says, be still and know that I am God. And so I just want to encourage you that, you know, this weekend, you know, this week you've just come out of a work week, and some of you need jobs, some of you need a financial miracle, some of you need healing, some of you need healing in a relationship, some of you want more of God. And I tell you, when you start reading the Word of God, it really lifts you up in a place that, oh my goodness, you know, God really knows what he's doing. And I'm like, oh my goodness, he is right here beside me. And I just got so excited. I got so pumped up inside. I thought, wow, I have an amazing God. He's so awesome. And so, you know, it's interesting because some of you, if you were here at the conference, our founding pastor, John and Carol Arnott, they started this church. Carol Arnott decided one day, she thought, you know, I need to be worshiping the Lord for who he is. You know, there's so much stuff going on. We can get bogged down and pulled from this way and that way and be tempted in so many ways. And she thought, I'm just going to worship the Lord. So she got one of these little buzzers, you know, that she put, what's it called? A beeper. And so she just feels it bzzz like that, like every 10 minutes. Yeah, all through the day, every 10 minutes, except when she goes to bed at night. She tried it at night, but she needed to sleep. So, but anyways, what she does is she just starts praising the Lord. So we were with her, and it's incredible because we're in the middle of something, and we're at a grocery store buying some food for a meal, and all of a sudden, she just stops, and she just puts her hands out there, and she doesn't care what anybody says, you know, and she's just, not that, I mean, when she was with us in our condo, she would just start lifting her hands up and like, oh, I love you, Jesus, I praise you, Jesus, but, you know, when we were in public, she would just put her hands out, and then we all look at her and have these big grin, but the amazing part is, what an opportunity. What an opportunity. She wanted to live from glory to glory. She wanted to feel his presence every second. And so what happened was she's been going for a few weeks now, and it just seems like every 10 minutes, she's still feeling him from the first 10 minutes, if that makes sense. And she's just loving on the Lord. So I want to encourage you that whatever situation you're in, if you're living in fear, if you're frustrated, whatever it is, read the word, pray, and worship him. That's why, you know, you'll see Stephen and I, we come up here and we just worship even when we don't feel like it. Even when we don't feel like it, we worship him. But I feel like it all the time. I get excited. You know, I have to tell you, as a pastor, the most favorite part of the whole Sunday or the whole Friday night is the worship. Because that's when you come in and you get to, like, put everything else behind you. You get to lay it down and you get to worship. And how excellent is it these guys get to play instruments and get to sing? Because they just shut their eyes and they just worship the Lord. And they play their instruments and they're in heaven and they're just like, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, and then there's some of us back here that are going, what are they feeling? You know, but they're feeling because they're playing to the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you that this week, whatever's going on in your life, whatever the issue is, whatever's weighing you down, let the word, let his word, let his promises take you out of that place. And just begin to declare those things over your life. You know, my grace is sufficient for you. You ever do that? Lord, I need more grace. And then, oh yeah, there's that verse. My grace is sufficient. You know, whatever's going on, or my God supplies all of your needs. There's healing scriptures, you know, there's just all sorts of scriptures. You can Google it, you can figure it out, you can put it on the mirror, you can put it wherever you need it. But I just want to encourage you to really go for it. How about you stand up? I just really felt tonight that when we were worshiping, and you guys are going to go on the lines in a few minutes, and we're going to pray for you. But I just have this word, and I just felt to deliver it, and then if that's you, then they'll pray for you. We'll pray for you on the lines over underneath the flags. But I felt as we were worshiping, I was reminded of a time when I was a little girl. And I remember in the middle of the night, my parents woke me up, and we had a fire in our front lawn. And a car had, I guess the guy was drunk or something, and he crashed into our front lawn, and the car went on fire right in front of our house. And I remember my brother and I were at the front. Now, I slept through it, but they woke me up because we had to leave. But I remember in the morning, looking at our grass, and it was all black, and it was all ugly. And I felt like there's some people inside here in this room right now, or even on the internet, where things have been on fire. Things are not looking good. But you know what people kept saying to us? They kept saying, you know what, this is good for the grass. Did you know, like, people in Africa, all over the world, burn their grass so that it'll be greener? And I thought, that's the way to look at it, isn't it? So whatever situation you're in right now, know that God is going to redeem it, and there's good that's going to come out of it. And our grass was beautiful. I tell you, you know, at the beginning, it looked ugly. It looked black. It looked like, oh my goodness, you know, I mean, what is going on? But in the end, the grass just grew, and it grew even greener, and it grew better. And so, Father, I'm asking right now that you would just come. And if you're in a situation right now, just hold your hands out to the Lord right now. Father, where if there's anybody that has been feeling burnt out, or the situation in their life, they've been burnt, or provision hasn't come, or jobs are not there, or there's illness, or there's sickness, or hope is gone, Father, I'm asking that you would just come. And Father, I'm asking for your love to go into the very root of those things that are happening in their life right now. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would come, and that your presence, your love would cause all the good, all your good that is inside of us to come up. And Father, we want to shine. We want to be bright. We want to be fruitful. We want this situation to be redeemed. So Father, I'm just declaring that you are the God who redeems everything. And Father, I'm asking that you would come and take this situation. And Father, we take our hands off and we let you do the stuff. And sometimes we just have to do that, don't we? Sometimes we just have to take our hands off and we have to walk in forgiveness and we have to bless. And we just have to let God be God and work it all out. And so, Holy Spirit, we love you. We love you. We love you. Father, we worship you. We honor you. We love you in this place. We love you in our lives. You know exactly what's happening. And Father, I'm asking even tonight that you would anoint the ministry team to be able to speak words of God, scriptures over people. Father, I'm asking that tonight as we receive prayer, Lord, that you would download scriptures, promises that would come and that would bring us to that next place. So, Father, thank you.
And, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift off heaviness off of people right now. In the name of Jesus, we declare that fears are broken over your life right now in Jesus' name. We declare that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We declare that our God is faithful. God is able. He is willing. We declare that the right hand of God is able to bust through every demonic oppression. Every circumstance that does not seem to be right, our God is able. And we declare it, God is able. Why don't you just say that with me? God is able. Father, would you come now? Would you lift off all the weights, all the stresses, all the anxieties, all the fears? And just a reminder, when you begin to fear, what you've done is you've placed faith in what Satan said. That's what fear is. Fear is faith in what Satan just said. And Father, we just say we've had enough of that. We don't want to go that journey. And we choose to be lovers of God and listeners to God and to His Holy Spirit. And I'd like you just to affirm your desire to be a follower of Jesus today. And just talk to God and say, I'm choosing again. I'm following you. I don't want to follow Satan. I don't want to listen to Satan. I want to follow you. I want to hear your voice. I want to be led by your Spirit. And if you're in this room or you're watching on the internet and you've never invited Jesus into your life, You can do that right here, right now. It's not a complicated thing. Just say something like this: Jesus, would you come and be real to me? Would you cleanse me of all of my sins, all the things that I've said, all the things that I've done, all the things that I've thought that are opposed to God? I say, I don't want that side of me anymore. I believe that Jesus loves me, that he came to live on planet Earth for me, that he died on a cross for me and for what I did, and he paid my penalty. And I choose Jesus. I give him my life. I become a follower of Jesus. I become born again. I become a child of God. I'll become a Christian, a follower of Jesus. So, Father, would you come and fill us right now by your Holy Spirit? Come. You just breathe in the Holy Spirit right now. Breathe in freedom. Just feel weights going off of your shoulders. Your shoulders are not big enough. Even Hulk Hogan at his best isn't able to deal with stresses in life. And you and I aren't designed to carry fear and worry and anxiety. And the Bible says we cast all of our cares on him because he cares for us. So Jesus, we welcome you. We welcome your Holy Spirit. Just breathe in more of the Holy Spirit. Come.
I just had this picture. I know that it's a commercial on TV where, and I don't know what it's for, but it's a picture where they show a young boy, and he's in the alley, and his friends are trying to tempt him. There's drugs going down or something. And then all of a sudden, he's at a distance because he's thinking, hey, wait a minute, that isn't me. And all of a sudden, it's like something unzips, and the boy, the real who the boy is, comes out. And he comes out in a soccer uniform, and he goes and he plays. And I just think every time I see that, that's the most life-giving commercial that I've ever seen, where I feel like sometimes we feel like we're stuck in a situation, and hopelessness comes on us. But I feel like the Lord is saying, you know what? You're inside. The real you is inside, the life-giving. I have given you life, and it's inside. And he's unzipping what people think you are and who people think you are. And he wants you to come out, and he wants you to be filled with joy and dancing. And he wants you to have favor, and he wants you to have great jobs, and he wants you to be married. He wants you to have children. He wants you to have grandchildren. He wants you to just do well in life. That's our God. That's the God of life. That's the God of hope. That's the God where his promises come. So Father, I'm asking that you would come. And Lord, we just shake off the stuff. It's like the snake, you know, when he sheds his skin. Lord, we shed that skin that is not of you. And we just lay it at the foot of the cross, and we walk out of it, Father, and we walk into your truth. And we walk into that peace, and we walk into that favor, and we run with you, Papa. And I just see some of you are going to start running. And there's going to be a freedom that is coming to you. And you're going to run, and you're going to run, and you're going to run. And the Lord is going to download revelation after revelation. And he's going to cause something to come on you where some of you are going to write songs. Some of you are going to write books. Some of you are going to, you know, communicate really well in your business and in whatever you do. Some of you are just going to, you're just going to experience new things in a way that you've never experienced. Just receive that if that's for you. If there are dreams inside of you that are being inside, and I just feel like the Lord is just releasing those things right now. And even on the internet right now, just receive that. Receive the newness of the Lord, that this is a season and this is a time that the Lord is wanting you to step out, wanting you to get the victory. And I just, you know, I just want us to be like, yes, and celebrating each other's victories, but also coming and just saying, you know what, when you're in a situation, I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to stand with you in a situation, and there's going to be people that are going to love you through whatever, if there's something going on, but they're going to love you back to life. And so I just bless you. I bless you. Woo.
So here's what we'd like to do. We'd like to have our prayer team, if you'd like someone some prayer, just for them to lay hands on you and say, God, come, do whatever needs to be done. So if you'd like prayer, we're going to dismiss you. Just to stand underneath the flags over here. There are three green lines on the floor. And if I could get the prayer team to come up to the front, and we need probably about 10 people or so that would be catchers for the prayer team. And if you're not sure what a catcher is, you just have to be able to be strong enough if someone's happening to fall to the ground that they don't fall, that you're able to actually hold them and help them lie, you know, nice and comfortably on the ground. So if you don't mind helping to do that, come on up to the front and just match up with some of our prayer team. And our prayer team are not allowed to pray for people until they've got a catcher. So we need five more people. So if there's some guys or gals that you'd like to do that. And prayer team, once you have your partner, just head over to the onto the flags and begin to minister. So if there's a couple more of you that were able to help and be catchers, that would be great. And if you're needing to leave, God bless you. Thank you for being with us. For those of you that are watching, let me just pray for you. Father, these folks that are at home right now, they're not able to stand on the lines like we are. And Daddy, we're asking that you'd be with them. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Father, may your grace be poured out on every single one of us in this room and those watching on Catch the Fire TV right now. And if you're watching this meeting on our archives, and so you're behind, as it were, you know what? The Holy Spirit is never behind, because the Holy Spirit's eternal. So he's ahead, he's behind, he's everywhere. And so we bless you to be filled with the Holy Spirit and know God's goodness in your life. In Jesus' name, amen.